my office.
Greetings, this is Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, it's very cold.
It is cold here.
Hello.
But it's colder in New York City.
That's right. Detroit's holding its own.
45 to 3 makes any day cold.
45?
45 was the final score in the Patriots-Jets game last night.
So it's that deep cold that goes to the soul you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll just give a few more minutes for people to pop on here.
Hello, this is Dan. Sorry.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
And I guess for the San Diego folks also, we hope to provide a good home for Adrian Gonzalez.
Michael, you shouldn't have time to read the sports page.
Just keep going. And truthfully,
Detroit is going to give Victor Martinez a nice home.
Yeah, if Detroit is a good home, hopefully they'll win some point before. I think Buchanan was president.
All right. Do we have Fong Zhao on? Andy Aronson. Did I hear Dale come on?
Dale was on another call. I think he should be on soon.
Okay. And I think, we'll just, was he going to be coming on late? Do you know, Bill?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. We'll just give him a couple minutes and then we'll get stuff going.
Well, I can talk about the meeting a little bit before he gets on because he knows those details. So I want to thank everybody for getting their hotel reservations done. good morning.
Morning.
Who's this?
This phone just arrived.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
This is Fong, just arrived.
Oh, hi, Fong. Hi, Fong.
Dr. Riley's on his way to Washington, so Jennifer's going to help run the call this morning. This is Jill, and I was just going to talk a little bit again about the meeting, just to make sure all of you get your flight arrangements correctly. The basic science group is going to start out on Monday, which is the 31st of January at 1 p.m., and then run until 6 p.m. that Monday. And then Tuesday will be the joint, both basic science and clinical groups day, all day on Tuesday the 1st. So those will be the most important days for the basic science group. I think Dr. Riley's talked to a couple of you about staying after for the PASS meeting, which will be on Wednesday from 10 to 3. So those are the details of that. And, again, thank you, everybody, for making your Hilton Rockville reservations. I hope it went smoothly for all of you. It definitely went smoothly on my end, so I appreciate that. So thank you, everybody.
Okay. Did anybody have any questions or any other issues with the meeting?
I guess one other thing is if anybody has any particular talking points or things that they'd like to have on the agenda for the basic science portion of the meeting besides the regular updates and PowerPoint presentations, please email those to me and I will make sure they end up on the agenda.
Okay, the next item then on our agenda are the internal progress reports. So those are due January 3rd. Jill sent out an email with the formatting template so that everybody knows what information needs to go into those. But that's information that will be disseminated as well on site at the meeting and also be put on the website. So it'll be a busy time. I know everyone's got RFA abstracts right after that, which is the next item. And that we had several symposia go in. Maybe you can, Michael, you had one symposium go in for the CFAS, for the RSA?
Yes, this is a symposium on the face, and it includes both basic science as well as clinical presentations looking at the evolution of changes in the face over time and across species. And Tatiana and I are sort of co-sponsoring that one, and we'll see how it does. But that went in. I just received Tatiana's final moments ago, so that went in
yesterday. Okay. Were there any other symposia that went in? I didn't make it to the clinical call last time.
Dale, I don't know if there's someone can speak to the epigenetics one.
Yeah, Dale's here. Sorry I was late getting on.
But go ahead.
Yeah, so Bill Dunty and I and Ava Rede have formulated and sent in a proposal on epigenetics involvement in FASD pathogenesis. And it's not a CFAS thing per se, but Feng Zhao is going to be participating as a speaker, and Michael has agreed to serve as a discussant. So we're real excited about that.
Okay. Who else is going to be in that symposium?
We have, besides Ava, whom many of you may know, she works on thyroid hormonal signaling and has found links to some imprinted genes. Also, there'll be Michelle Ramsey from South Africa, and she has looked at the effects of alcohol on DNA methylation, I believe, of imprinted genes in sperm, suggesting the possibility of paternal effects. And we've also involved a person that we're just getting to know. Her name is Kirsty Agar. She doesn't work in the alcohol field, but she studies the effects of smoking and also some dietary influences on birth outcomes, and has made links to epigenetic effects in the fetus and placenta. And Bill, did I get that right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. So I think that's the four speakers. I think I covered them all.
Yeah, it sounds like a great session. Dan Savage, you also put in a symposium.
Yeah, we put in a one on preclinical studies of therapeutic interventions in animal models of FASD. I'm
having a hard time hearing Dan.
I'm sorry. We put in a symposium on sort of an update on therapeutic interventions for animal models of FASD. And the four speakers are Jennifer Thomas, Alexander Medina from VCU. I invited a guy from Alabama who's been working first with aniracetam and now more recently with some other cognition-enhancing agents that focus in on AMPA receptor effects as a third speaker. And the fourth speaker would be one of my senior students in the lab that would talk about our histamine 3 antagonist work. And then I was going to be the organizer, but I wasn't going to speak.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay, so just a reminder then that so it looks like we'll have lots of representation even outside of just the CFAS symposium. But just a reminder that the individual abstracts for posters are due on January 10th. One of the next item is updating publications, and this is something that Jill and I both noted that we've asked everybody to update their publications on the Google Docs so that we have kind of an ongoing list. And I think it's a little bit behind, especially now that the Charlie's issue is out. Charlie, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a double issue. I think the print date was November the 20-something. It it is a double issue. It's online now as well as the official issue. So if you haven't gotten the each of the communicating authors will get a copy of the print journal. So if you haven't gotten that, you can still see it online. It is being publicized by Elsevier. I think the press release goes out today. And I think one article will be available free of charge to the public, and that's going to be the article by Dan's group. But it will get some play in the media, I think. The whole issue will.
Good.
At the clinical call last week, there were compliments of the cover.
I wanted to pick something that would reflect the theme, so I thought the morphometric or the landmark identification in Klingenberg's article was as good as any. So Tatiana did agree to let it go on the cover. So.
Good. All right, are there any other things people want to bring up before we just talk about each project's progress? Okay, so we'll just go down the line here, Fong.
Okay, let's see what's new recently. Here's one thing that's interesting. As we know, the face was the particular craniofacial bone are actually derived from the neural crest cells through the migration. So we are looking not only skull bone, but also now looking at the face bone to glance through all the treated ones and versus the control. And there appear to be, we begin to line up everyone's that to see how would that, anything that is standing out. So there's a piece of a bone that is appear to be constantly coming, sticking out, and that is the nasal bone that the alcohol treated one appear to be in the very tip of the nasal bone. Are not as grow as fully as the control. I think we seen it before, but now that we line up all the micro CT images in a 3D way and let it even rotate it, so give us a better view. It appeared to be this nasal bone could be a good candidate. So we begin to see in any way we can shape analysis of this particular regions. And the other interesting area is that it appeared to be the bone, the smoothness versus the roughness of the particular maxillar bone from the side view are interestingly different. I think this is probably not all understood. That is, when the bone are fully matured, they tend to be more smooth on the surface, but it appeared to be the alcohol ones that there's some roughness on the site of the maxillary bone. So this is just the beginning of overall analyzing of the shape and the detail of the craniofacial bone. So we kind of get it interesting to and see what these will be a good features for separating alcohol treated versus the control. I think that's what we knew for today.
Fang, I've got a question for you. So is there potential to translate this to diagnostics for children, or is this always going to involve x-rays? And things that might.
Okay, yeah, this is a very good question. I think in doing the micro CT, of course, this is a little bit very largely done. So I went and actually talked to some of the radiologists. they would think that the some of the child, they have done some for the dental CT, and actually near the just below the face in this region are hasn't been done in a non-invasive way to look at the teeth structures. And of course, I mean, the dental will also look at the teeth as well. So that region, not including the eyes, are pretty commonly be done in the radiology for the children.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for Fong? Kathy?
We have one very wonderful new development, and that is Scott Parnell's wife gave birth to a little girl on Saturday.
Oh.
So that's probably the best thing that's happened all year. We're continuing to work on our brain face correlation stuff, and have probably the full set of litters that we need for day 7, but we're going to be comparing those to day 8.5 exposure time. Thought the day 7 by itself would not be nearly as compelling as looking at a later exposure time, so you could say this is unique to this point in time, and there is a unique different face for each different exposure time. It was became really obvious that was needed. I was able to participate with Phil May in one of these in-school screenings. It was in Sioux Falls a couple weeks ago, and some of the kids come in and they pick them out because they're little, and you can see them. You know, the ones that are real affected are quite active compared to the other ones, but there's a variety of factors, and I think the clinicians need to be aware that, or more aware that there's more than one face of fetal alcohol syndrome, and so I think that doing our day 7 and our day 8 exposure time will I think show a remarkable difference with what alcohol can do at two different points in time. So we're gearing up to do that, and we're excited, but it's going to take a while because we're doing whole litters, so the numbers are big. So that's where we are.
Okay, any questions or comments for Kathy? Sounds like we had a couple people join us.
Oh, I got cut off. I called back in.
Oh, okay. Okay, Tim?
Yeah, we are ultrasounding sheep, and that's going fairly well. We're obtaining most of the measurements. We're able to repeatedly be able to obtain most of the measurements we intended on obtaining. And these animals are the animals that are enrolled in the choline study, and they're being studied at day 76 of gestation. And we have some pilot animals that have been exposed to much higher doses of alcohol, 3 grams per kilogram, bracketing day 14. That's just an early point exposure. We start them on day 10, and we have to develop a little bit of tolerance. We step them up through day 14 at 3 grams per kilogram, and those animals will be they'll be at day 76 in January. So I'll be able to study them before the February meeting. That's the late breaking stuff for us.
How many sheep are in that cohort?
The CIFAS, the choline.
Yeah.
Choline. So there'll probably be the whole study is about 50 animals, but but about 22 of them were completed last year, and they passed their day 76 before we had plans to do study. So the remaining about 40 will be in the cohort that we'll complete, and we'll have all of them studied probably before or around the time of the February meeting.
Okay. Okay, any other questions or comments for Tim? Well, Raj is not on the call. He's in Montreal, and so I guess I'll just give you an update on the coaling project. I did talk to Carl Keane, and they say they're going to be analyzing this tissue, and I'd like to say I'm confident in that, but according to him, will be their top priority. Heidi is the person who's running the analysis, and both he and Jan assure me that this will be done in the next couple of weeks. I did realize, though, that the second study where we manipulated the dietary choline levels along with the prenatal alcohol exposure, all of that tissue, I thought we had sent some of that to them. We actually have all of that in our possession. And I know that last call we talked about possibly sending them elsewhere. I know that Zizel's group has the capacity to do the analysis. And so when I talked to Jan and Carl, they said, oh, send us the tissue, but I'm kind of hesitant to do that. So I'd kind of like to get some advice of whether I should just try and work it with Zizel's group instead. It's a little bit of finessing since they're still have some of my tissue and are hopefully analyzing it. But I'd be open to advice.
Well, if they really say they're going to do it in the next few weeks, Jen, I'd probably wait a little bit longer and pull back on the other. The other thing, are these two separate studies that, I mean, if they were eventually analyzed by two different labs, that wouldn't create any cross-lab problems for data analysis?
I can't give you a good answer on that because, you know, not necessarily knowing the procedures themselves of how much difference there would be. I know that when Jan was working with us, one of the reasons, I mean, we have the plasma levels but not the tissue levels, and one of the reasons is the procedures are more difficult in terms of getting the levels. And they were actually making their comparisons when they were piloting that with Zizel's values. You know, whether or not there'd be, so that might be one concern. Another concern would be more of the, you know, just the political component to it as well. Carl's been paid to do these tissues of the second study, so I don't know if I should hold off and see if they actually give me the values from the first one and then send the tissue, or go ahead and mail it to them.
Well, I think I guess my suggestion would be is give them a couple weeks and see if they really deliver, just staying on them, and then revisit it if they, you know, certainly if before the holidays they haven't, you know, they haven't given you any indication of when you'll have the results.
Okay.
I mean, because I don't think much is going to happen here before January now anyway, so enough time has gone by that allows
right.
A bit longer here, probably on balance, although it's not a great solution. It's probably the best thing to do at this point in time. It's my suggestion.
Okay.
And you're right. I think the issue would be bigger if the two labs were doing tissue extractions in different ways in terms of the results. I think it'd be a greater concern than if the two labs were doing serum samples.
Well, right, and actually, Jan did contact. I mean, if you may recall that I had put her in contact with some of the people in Zizel's lab because they were struggling a little bit with the extraction of these measurements. So presumably they're using the same protocol. But you're absolutely right. There might be still some differences.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll have at least the tissue data from the first study then before Christmas. Any other agenda items? Oh, I'm sorry, Dan.
Jennifer, this is John. I'm afraid I have to leave the call now. I have another commitment.
Okay.
Look forward to seeing you all in Washington.
Bye, John.
Okay, bye-bye.
Any other items we want to discuss? Michael?
No, it sounds good to me.
Okay.
We'll be
Dale or Bill?
Nothing off the top of my head.
It sounds good to me. Yeah, hopefully the choline measurements can get sorted out. That seems to have been going on for a while. And I'm hoping, so hopefully they can get a batch of them through for you soon, and can you have additional samples, I understand, after that to send them? Or
yeah, I think that it would make sense for me at least to see what, if they, you know, again, if I don't get any data before Christmas, then I think...
I don't think I'd send them the other batch until you have some indication that they're actually on the
phone. Yeah, I agree with that, and I'm just wondering if we're going to be revisiting these kind of delays going forward. So anyway, let's see what happens.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. If there's nothing else to bring up, and I won't be in Rockville, but...
there'll actually be a January call since the Rockville's in February. So we'll talk again first week of February, or January.
Okay, we do have a call in January. Okay.
Great. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
We'll be there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.